Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message. This is part three of Fallen Angels. We're live tonight. This is September the 16th, and on the Pacific time, it's about 8:02 here with the atomic clock, and we're coming in to you live and direct from the great Smoky Mountain Hills of Tennessee. Praise Yahweh. Well, Genesis 19, if you're going to be with us tonight in the study, we're going to talk about the sexual contact that these fallen angels, which is the title of our message, Fallen Angels, how that they have messed up the genetic pattern, or they tampered. Unauthorized, ladies and gentlemen, this is an unauthorized tampering of genetics. This is the whole problem on planet Earth. We have been led down the primrose path of deception, especially through Christian churchianity. And we, the Western man, we have the most liberal, sexual, perverted, guaranteed right laws in the world. Now, I'll repeat that. We, the Western, civilized Christian world, particularly the United States, we're going to talk about some of the perversion, the lawlessness, those who have been taught that we're not to keep the commandments and the laws. You know, they place everything under the law and say we're saved by grace without any faith. Faith without works is dead. You got to have some works in here. And the works is righteousness, not lawlessness, which is what we've produced with the churchianity, humanist views of religion. Religion, the Bible says, is vain if you don't have truth. Truth is the major key. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men that came into you this night? Bring them out to us that we may know. You know, if we paraphrase that, that's, we may have sex with them. Men wanting to have sex with these men. Now, these men are those who they thought to be just regular, normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill men, which we've got so accustomed to think inside the box with the humanist view of man and nothing else. That we're not responsible for our actions here on planet. Nobody's watching. I told you last night, we've got watchers. Satan was watching Eve. No doubt he watched her bathe. He watched her dress. Well, the lack of it. That would probably have been a better word, the lack of dress. And he was very interested in her activities. He was also interested in engaging her in conversation. And by that, he deceived woman. And here we've got now man turning to man. It started in Genesis 6 and it progressed up to Genesis 19 as a almost. I'm telling you, only, you know, a few chapters up the road, and we're back to the same old. After the earth was destroyed for the sins of Genesis 6 with the flood, we believe that it was a isolated region of the seed of Adam that was destroyed. I don't think everything was flooded out. Satan and his offspring were still here. They didn't flood them out of the gate. They had to survive. Behold now. And Lot went out to the door unto them and shut the door after him. In other words, he just stepped outside the door. As they were beating on the door. They wanted the men, the new men, these strangers that had walked into the city. Lot, no doubt, met them at the gate of the city, Sodom. Very terrible, horrible, perverted place. Well, I would guarantee you this, that Sodom was no worse, and certainly no better, than Los Angeles, California, or San Francisco, or Chicago, or New York, or Phoenix, Arizona, or Dallas, Texas, or New Orleans. All of our cities in America have become so liberal in their laws. Our people have become indifferent and isolated, conditioned. You see, we can't say anything about the minority races or the sexual preferences of anyone, lest we offend or get on someone's toes. You see, we're not Christians when we do that. We're Antichrist. We have become anti-truth and traditionally, fundamentally Christians of acceptance rather than rejection. You see, we used to stand up for righteousness' sake, not for lawlessness, but for laws that condemn such activities. Behold now, he said, I can send these two young gentlemen out to you. Oh, why? It would be a sin to do that. Here I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me send them out and do to them as in your eyes. Isn't that a sacrificial proposition? Did Lot know that as he tried to bargain his two daughters away to protect the two men that were inside? See, even at this time, Lot didn't know the power of these two individuals. What kind of power did they have? Enough power to destroy the whole city. Two men just walk into a city. You talk about terrorists. You talk about coming in unaware. When the real war starts, ladies and gentlemen, when Yahweh sends his angels from heaven to begin the final cleansing of the lawlessness. Remember, the Bible says that the angels, now this is a job for angels. It's not a job for man. You know, we've got people, groups, trying to take the law into their own hands and take out Babylon. That's all you hear on shortwave radio. Well, we got to do away with Babylon. Babylon is powerful. And we got to change this. And ladies and gentlemen, Babylon will rule with a rod of iron until Yahweh's day to bring her down. And Yahweh will be the one that brings her down, not man. It will be done by the watchers. This is what we're talking about. the fallen ones as opposed to the good ones. In this case, it is the good watchers fighting against the bad watchers, the dark ones, the fallen ones, who are here to promote and to convince, just as they did in Genesis 6, that it was okay to do these perverted things and change the laws to give protection because they themselves are servants of corruption. They were deceived by Satan, the mighty one, and lured from their first estate, according to Jude 1, 4 through 6, that they were cast down from heaven and forever banished from the eternal place, planet, whatever you want to call it, called heaven. It is a real place. These beings, I cannot stress enough that man has long too far been too spiritually taught, you know, to just to dub over realities with spirit or spiritual things that do not apply in this case. These are real beings. It's a real war. It's tangible people you can touch, feel, taste, smell, and hear. I mean, all of those senses are within the range of your limitations to participate, if you will, with these angels. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to Sojourn and he will need a judge, be a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Remember now, they had another man, they said, this one fellow came in here to visit. And, you know, I mean, they got to him. They just overpowered the people that were trying to protect him. Here in this case, they were fixing to overpower Lot. Now, what do we find here in Sodom and Gomorrah that is so incredibly evil? That God really, literally, can't stand it anymore. Or the mighty ones. Was it a conscious decision to take it out? Yeah, it was, because it had grown so weak. It's the God, Yahweh, here in this case, sends his two angels, only two. They're looking like normal men. They had the people of Sodom so aroused because they looked normal, tangible, flesh and blood creatures. Remember, they ate and drank with Lot. Lot was keeping, that's amazing. It says that Lot gave them unleavened bread. Well, if Lot was keeping the days of unleavened bread, it must have been in the time of Passover. That's incredible, I think. Read in the 19th chapter. They were served unleavened bread by Lot. And unleavened bread was only served in the ritual festival of 7-day festival of Passover. Incredible. Incredible that these angels would come at a time to deliver just Lot as these evil, corrupt, vile, perverted people of Sodom had tormented his soul from day to day with their unfilthy or their unrighteous deeds and their filthy ways, where Lot lived among them as a righteous man, not participating and being carried away with such lewdness and perversion. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be turned over to a reprobate mind. You can actually justify your carnal desires. That men would work that which is unseemly among themselves, desiring other men. And Paul addressed the Christian congregation in the New Testament and said, such were some of you, but now you're washed. And it's not a sin to get out of these things, it's a sin to remain in them. Now, if you've been given over to these lusts, taught or conditioned to think it's okay by the promotion of calling good evil and evil good, it's a reverse. And so as they bombard you with these sublingual suggestions, it's okay. This romantic encounter of man to man and woman to woman, it is growing and intensifying by the smut and the filth of the pornography industry of Hollywood. 99% of all filth and smut and things of this nature, of the baser sort, come right out of the nation of America. Promoted? I mean, people get literally rich by promoting their bodies and cross-mixing. Doesn't matter where you're black, white, red, green, yellow, purple. Doesn't matter. I mean, these filthy people will film it and sell it, and people are so aroused in their carnal reflexes. I mean, it arouses them, it gives them a surge of whatever they get, testosterone or whatever, arouses them and makes them lust. And here, the Almighty God is sending angels to disrupt and destroy this place because of the lewdness and the perversion. He said, well, wonder why don't you say that it was as bad in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, et cetera, et cetera, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why isn't he destroying it now for those things? We just keep on prospering. We're eating, drinking, and then there is a day for judgment. And because that the judgment is not executed swiftly or surely, then people think that they have a tendency that God doesn't care. I mean, you know, it's just like a little boy going to the cookie jar. If he's hungry and he doesn't get caught and he doesn't get his hands slapped, he's going to keep eating the cookies till they're all gone because he can't resist the temptation to get a cookie. Well, there's a lot of cookies that are being illegally, lawlessly eaten from the table of Satan's, it seems right, or it is right, in a satanic way. Anything that Satan can gloss over and make right, people will do it. If there's no penalty, people will do it. The only reason that a drug addict doesn't mug you or rob you or kill you, a package of crack and $10 will get you killed just at the wrong time. These habits that are transmitted through sin. Sin is a transgression of the law, and it is against the law to do such thing. Whether you could do it or not, or whether you are told to do it and conditioned to think it's okay, there is a sin against these perversions. And it will be met with a swift reward at the time. You see, now death catches you, and you don't repent of it, and don't change or come out of her, then you will die as a tree falls, so shall it lie. So then you'll have to go into judgment and give an account for the deeds done in your body. See, you might leave your flesh and body here, but your soul, your spirit, is going to pay for those sins, and you'll be charged and accountable for them. And that's the bad stuff. It's just like the old colored lady was getting a baby. She said it's good at getting, but bad at having. And that's true. Sin is pleasurable. It gives you thrills and chills and spills. And to run with the glamorous people, or to let the glamorous people of Hollywood become these idols and people that worship it, and they set the trends for clothing, for sexual liberties and things of this nature. And the nation, including Christianity, you'd be surprised at the Christians that go along with what's done. Now, they act like they're against it. They go to church and sit like church mouses, and yet when they get their opportunity, they participate, or they encourage, or they have fellowship, or they enjoy these things that are going on. And these are the lukewarm people that he said I'll spew out of my mouth. Well, if you're wondering why the God hadn't destroyed this wretched evil, just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, which wasn't doing any worse in their day, and then we're doing in our nation, and our nation is an example. We are not the exception. We are the rule makers. All nations follow our examples. All nations look to us. We are the leader of the Western world, and now the Eastern Bloc has come on board, and now they are tearing down their borders, and these cultures that are against this, they have been invaded with smut. That's why in Saudi Arabia, they'll cut your hand off if you steal, and we call it barbaric. And yet when you see a person in Saudi Arabia that's got one hand, you know what he done. Well, he probably did it once because he's lost one hand. If he does it twice, he loses both of them. Then, if he does it again, they cut his leg off. And, you know, pretty soon you're going to get the message that stealing and crime don't pay in Saudi Arabia. And yet today, we are encouraging, we're infiltrating, we're sending in agents of Western culture to change their people and liberate their women, take their head coverings off, because that looks like it's bondage. These people have Sodom and Gomorrah that saw these two angels. They didn't know they was angels. They just looked like normal, regular men. No doubt they were handsome, good to look upon, and they were new. You see, sin loves to corrupt something that's never been corrupted. This is like a woman fully dressed. Men have a more heightened sensation of desire when they see a woman fully clothed or just revealing some of her body, as opposed to a woman walking there just revealing all of her body. So, because after the initial shock of a naked woman walking down the street, which is what most of them do, that they tantalize you, just showing enough flesh to leave you with a question mark, or letting you just see so much to tantalize you to want to see more. And this is the secret. Nakedness and lewdness and perversionness. Women holding hands with women walking down the streets of San Francisco or your Main Street USA now. It's all coming in, even into the rural areas where we used to have God-fearing, Bible-toting people that call that sin and perversion. Now it's the accepted norm rather than the exception. So what are we going to do about it? Sexual immorality is possibly what brought the two angels in to do away with it. Now, this is in a time when God's judgment was swift and severe, because he was setting an example for his nation Israel not to go charging or chasing after these gods. And now that we're scattered about among them, even because we love them, we desire them, want to be like them, serve their gods, and do their things that they do in liberty. We didn't want to be under the confinement of God's law, so we become lawless, full of lawlessness, breaking the laws, defying the laws, taking it to the edge, tempting God with our sins and corruption, until the whole earth is going to be filled just like it was in the days of Genesis 6, when the Bible says that men were so violent and perverted and corrupted that the sexual immorality was so rampant that he brought in swift destruction. And that's coming just a few days down the road. When this thing plays to its max, when the time appointed, when Yahweh says enough, that, and let me tell you why. Because the Bible says in the days of Noah, Noah was down, God Almighty was down to eight people, eight souls that were considered righteous, that had not crossbred, mixed, if you will, perverted or polluted the bloodline. Noah was righteous in his generation with his three sons and their three wives and his wife. These were righteous people. And according to the Bible, they were the only eight souls left on the earth that were. Because if there were other righteous souls and God hadn't saved them, then he would have been guilty of preferential treatment. And God has not got no respect to persons. If you sin, you're going to pay for it. And everybody that paid for it sinned. The Bible says even the angels that sinned were cast down to be reserved in chains for judgment. And now man is following the same example, for as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're teaching it's okay for races, different races, to interbreed and produce these hybrid experiments. You see, they're not original in the earth. Yahweh, when he made the different races, and there were four major streams of humanity coming out of the Garden of Eden. You had your black race, your yellow race, your white race, and from the white race, from Eve, this beautiful, golden-haired woman, Satan, the archangel, the number one angel in the hierarchy. Other angels feared him, admired him, revered him. And he had a plan in mind to mix his seed with the woman's seed and fill the earth with his seed, his offspring, and then him and his family could live happily, prosperously, here upon the planet. And if the plan went perfect, that he could even produce so many offspring upon the earth that they could develop such a technology or society that they could go into the heavens and ascend into the very throne or back to the planet, the home planet, and they could overcome and rule there. You see, man has got a warlike nature when he's in the flesh realm. He wants to conquer and explore and rule. Most of the time, his rule is unjust. There's not a man in the earth that is given the power to rule over the earth that wouldn't resort to using his power to afflict the people just like the pharaohs of old. Yahweh is trying man in an earthly experiment. Place man and woman in the garden, and Satan interfered by casting his genetics into the earth. Yahweh, to counter, the only option that Yahweh had was to curse the seed that came out of the womb. And appointed it to die. Now, you say, well, why did everything die? Because, you see, the prototype, everything had to prototype after the miscegenation act with Eve. The tainted womb of Eve became forever tainted with the telegamy effects of Satan being with the woman. Yahweh had to bring forth his son, Abel, into this environment. Satan was a mighty one, and Yahweh was a mighty one. It's the real world. These are not little myths that go floating out in the air. You can't read it, that the devil himself is a spirit. Yahweh is a spirit, but it's the controlling spirit of everything that exists, and without him, nothing exists. It doesn't say that about Satan. Satan was a created being. He had a beginning, and he's got an end. And before he was created, he seemed good. But then, after the works that he displayed, evil was found in him. He was perfect until iniquity was found in him. Yahweh is perfect, and so is his offspring, and they're eternal. They don't have any beginning and no end. Satan has a beginning and an end. And so then, that's why that these angels won't desire to look into the affairs of the eternal ones. Christ alluded to it in John when he said, my sheep have eternal life. My sheep are not of this world. I am not of this world. I am from above. Now, Satan is from above. He was one of the elder brothers. He was one that walked in the among the stones of fire. But he had a perverted plan in his mind. In the bottom of his mind, he could not resist. This was the cookie jar analogy. He was the cookie, and he just had to have her because he knew that she would produce, and he told her so. He said, you will produce a son in my image. He will look just like me. And she didn't know anything about this. She didn't know Adam had the ability to do the same thing or that Yahweh had the ability to do the same thing. You say, well, Yahweh wouldn't have dared to have sex with thee. Well, he had sex with Mary. Say, oh, God, don't say he had sex with her. Well, then let me simplify it by saying she got pregnant. He overshadowed her and she got pregnant. However that works. If Satan had the power to overshadow Eve, Yahweh had the power to overshadow Mary. If both of them get offspring, then could that happen? Could both of them, because Eve is the only woman, she's the only game in town, ladies and gentlemen. But this time she's a whore. She was meant for Yahweh. Just like Yahweh told Abraham, I will visit Sarah, which was a prophetic fact that he had promised that he would visit the offspring of Abraham, which would be Mary. She was a son, daughter of David. Joseph was a son, but Joseph had no blood affiliation with the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, when he come in the flesh. So he overshadowed Mary. He overshadowed Sarah. She got Isaac, which was the son of Yahweh. Yahweh got a son in the garden through Eve, which was Abel. Abel was the son of God slain from the foundation world, or the son of Yahweh. Get with it. And yet Satan has brought the sexual immorality and to such a perverted height. And then this, it has confusion. And since there is no swift judgment from Yahweh out of heaven, as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, since it's, you know, people keep doing it and doing it and doing it and laughing and eating and drinking and being merry, and there's no sin or there's no recompense for their sins, then they say, there is no God. We're God. We're the gods that rule this earth. We call the shots. If we say it's all right to commit homosexual acts, it's okay. If we hear it enough from our own brethren, and they approve of it, and they don't disapprove, and you Christians stay silent, talk about the silence of the lambs, it's the house of Israel. Not those lying Jews that lied in Revelation 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. It's the lambs that are silenced, the sheep. That's Israel. We have been lured to sleep through cunning, craftiness, and deception of the fallen ones. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's his return. When he comes back, we're going to be as it was in the days of Sodom. Now, what have we got going here? We've got sexual liberties. It's okay for men to marry men. That's coming out. That law is going to be approved. Ladies and gentlemen, another 25 years, you won't know this country. Now they are trying to pass and will. It's already cleared the Senate. Through a rider, they've attached this bill to a rider, but it will become law, believe you me, that anytime you say anything about these people, these type of people, you could go to jail for harassing people that have rights. And you're interfering with the rights, and it'll be the government that determines your speech. So if you're in the Bible, preaching the Bible, the Word of God, you're going to be in direct conflict with the liberal laws of humanist multicultural society that's approved and stamped its approval by the very Christians that are saying, oh, we don't approve of that. It's the silence of the lambs. What have you done about it? Have you stood up? Have you cried out? Or have you gone along with it? Do you enjoy seeing it? Do you like to go to the singles club or the gay clubs and the bars down and mingle and tingle? Oh, there's pay in it. There's handsome rewards. There is acknowledgement of you of the world. The world will love you, and we like the fellowship. We don't like to be isolated and singled out as sore thumbs, and that's what it's coming to. Babylon will become so anti-law with their lawlessness of their liberal judges, the Supreme Court right on down to your local gavel that pounds on the local court system, that will restrict your crying out, as the prophets of old cried out against the sins of these people. They were doing these very things, and we're coming right back as it was in the days of Noah. When the sons of God started mating with the daughters of men, mixing, coming down, and they've been, ladies and gentlemen, the great mystery is that the reason they're turned on here in person, they have been restricted. There was a war in heaven over this very issue. But the time will come that the restraining order that was issued from heaven by the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the mighty one, Elohim Yah, the chief ruler, now the elder brother of all the others who came down from heaven to put this lawless planet into the federation of the laws of Yahweh. I know we got a long way to go, a short time to get it on. You see, when Satan is released from his prison, he's in prison now. Him and his angels, the fallen ones, they're real beings. They look like these same guys, I'm telling you. They can masquerade just like the two angels came in as disguised, normal, typical, everyday men that walked into the city of Sodom, but they had the energy, the power at their command. And ladies and gentlemen, we have evidence that in the fused sand, the glass, that it was and science will tell you that it seems like it is the same type of parchment. Sodom and Gomorrah is no longer, see, it's an uninhabited city, and that's what he said it would be. Because there was such a devastation, such a blast, such heat, such intensity of heat, that it liquefied the sand. And it's now become the pitch tar pits of hell. A literal hell upon the earth. Uninhabited. Even the owls will not hoot down there in Sodom. It is a vast wilderness of no man's land. And that's what this whole earth is going to become if we don't repent, return, and speak up in the time when it's against the law to speak up. That's the time you need to speak. Maybe you've been silent too long. Maybe you have been asleep at the wheel under a usury mortgage. I attended a lecture by a young man out of the state of Florida. And I got such an education from this young man, just a young man, and there's many young eagles now beginning to be hatched in the house of Israel. Men with integrity and dedication and loyalty to the truth. They're educating themselves. They're learning the law. They're learning how that we've been placed into bondage by men of great intelligence with minds of evil, where they have hid the truth from the wise. And these men, and this man uncovered the very fact, going back to books that were written in the 13th century about the unified trust of Almighty God and planet Earth. I got such an education. That was the most enjoyable 2 days that I ever spent in my life learning from this young man, just a young man, learning about the actual earth and who it belonged to, and that it was in trust to the sons of Yah upon the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been asleep, and Satan has stole the trust of Almighty God right out from under us. Tried to create a bankrupt system that operates not from the constitutional rights of our trust and God-given rights. It's such a trickery. And he actually used the words of the sorcerers that have created money right out of thin air. And it's amazing. So that's exactly the type of evil structures. And listen, folks, they just print money, 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 money. Under George Bush's administration, we've gone deeper in debt than any president in the history of the United States. He's only been in there 4 years and looks like he's going back, because people love to have this artificial means of existence. They're not looking to pay the fiddler down the road. They're not looking at the consequences of perversion, lawlessness, and liberties that they have taken for granted, that there'll be no recompense of reward. But be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, what about it? Well, I think that was really going on in the days of Noah was that Satan's plan to attack and to prevent the actual birth of the Messiah by corrupting the seed and closing the wounds. You see, people really wonder why that the birthright sons and daughters in the lineage of Adam through Noah down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on down through the lines of the royal tribe. I ain't talking about Judah either. The birthright tribe is not Judah. It's the house of Ephraim. Satan tried his best to attack the royal bloodline, birthright sons and daughters of the house of Israel, the family that Yahweh chose. He knew where the bloodline of God was. And if he could miscegenate his blood into God's blood, think about it, Satan could fuse his literal blood into the literal blood of God upon the planet, then God himself couldn't straighten out the nightmare. The best place to hide a needle is not in a haystack, but in a stack of needles. And Satan was wanting to sow his genetic, corrupt genetics, his cursed. You see, that's why that Yahweh would close the wounds of some of the daughters of Israel, and they couldn't bear. Rachel was one. God Almighty himself closed her womb. She wasn't popping out babies. Leah, on the other hand, was popping out babies just as fast as she could. And the first four sons of Leah, this is incredible. You'll find this story in Genesis chapter 46. The first four out of the womb of Leah, all of them were perverted by Satan. Corrupted in one way or the other. Incredible. Here's Rachel. Remember, there had to be a sworn oath that the servant would, for Isaac, would go up and only pick one wife or daughter from a particular tribe. We'll talk about these later on, this bloodline. I'm talking about the bloodline genetics of God Almighty. The Bible says that Almighty God was the progenitor of the bloodline of David. It's an amazing story. No wonder these fallen angels desired to run rampant and to liberalize the sexual perverted laws, to liberalize the laws against God, against God's command to do all these things. And so they convinced man that it was okay to do it, and that we should be one happy family, all of us blood mixed and genetically mixed into a people that even God couldn't straighten out the genetics in 10 million years. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a blood war of genetics, a perversion. That's why Satan has encouraged such perverted acts of lewdness upon the earth so that he could destroy the very or pollute it. And once he got his, but you see, Satan is always trying to get his son under the blessing hand of those who were able to bless. Isaac was able to bless Jacob or Esau. And Satan did his damnedest to get his son Esau. You say, well, I didn't know that Esau was the son of Satan. Well, he was. Yahweh hated him from the very get-go. Before he'd ever done any good and evil, Yahweh knew that he was a serpent seed. He was a Edomite Canaanite. Now, how this got to be is one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. But you see, if you don't know how to solve the mysteries, if you want to just, you know, rope around back in a garden at Eve, eat an apple, and be done with it, and just stay at that surface level, we'll stay there. Be content. And be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you dare to go where even angels fear to tread, into the presence of Yahweh, not one of these fallen angels would dare go back to the throne of God and look Yahweh right in the eyes. These sneaking, perverted, demonic, cursed, corrupt, and corruptible to everything they touch, feel, hear, smell, and taste of, their own, their mission to deceive the very elect, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. These are the things that God's wrath is coming down. And if you really want to look into what's going on today, and I talked about the fallen angels are now in they're massing in the heavens. We've had such, for the last 40 years, we have had such deception by these mighty ones who claim to be star children, claim to be our progenitors, claim to be watchers over humanity, and that we should drop all prejudices, and that we should become multicultural, and that we should live as one big human family and humanistic understandings on the earth with the accent of being on breaking God's laws, which is entirely against such teaching. Remember, Satan and his angel will come back to deceive even the very elect, because Satan is going to come to the planet. We're going to talk about this in part 4. Satan is going to come to the planet with his angels. Now, this will all be scientifically acceptable to the earthlings, because we'll be conditioned, we're going to be conditioned to know and to believe that we're not alone in the universe, that there's others out there, very intelligent species, some of them with lifespans as long as 20,000 years compared to earthlings. 20,000 years. Or even longer. And Satan and his angels come back, they're going to be so old, but they look so young. They're going to look younger than a 30-year-old man, but they're going to be actually, literally, billions of years old. The earth in itself, science tells us, and our human frail ways of measuring the actual history of the earth and its age, tells us it's between 4 to 6 billion. Well, these fallen angels that are giving man information now are up and at the 665 billion years. And that the planet cooled down to the point where that it could be inhabitable. And this was an experiment by them. That man is an experiment based solely on the technology of these wise ones. Well, it was Yahweh and his angels that came down in Genesis 6 to see what Satan and the other angels were doing. And they were mating and mixing and bringing forth children, and the Bible said that the earth got so violent and so perverted, like I've said, and they had put a halt to it. Well, as it was in the days of Noah, the Messiah said himself that he would come back and intervene. He will send his angels to gather together the tares. Oh, my God. Satan will be sitting in the actual built temple that the Jews were building. The Jews are going to build this temple. And their daddy, Satan, the father of Cain. Boy, they'll take to him like, Carter takes the pills. I mean, they're just going to, everybody in the world's going to rejoice. It's going to be incredible, the technology, the things that he can do, Satan and his angels, the miracles that they can perform. We will stagger. Those that know the truth will even be persuaded, and some of them will fall and be persuaded for the lie. But you better buckle up on the sword of the Spirit. And go to a level and a level of comprehension that you've never gone before. You better get in the program fast, because the time is upon us. Satan knows he has but a short time, and when he is finally authorized and released from the dungeon, that's out in the deep, where he's been banished, he's going to come in his chariots. And these are going to be great, beautiful beam ships. And he's going to tell us that he came from out there somewhere on a star system. And it's going to be provable, because he's going to take us back there to their abode. They're going to teach us the technology of mastering the universe, define time, death. And that day people will pray to die and can't even die. That's why the Bible says that the righteous will be taken from the wrath to come. You better be getting ready and hold on. Your spiritual hack, because Satan is coming for your crown. And this is his final hurrah. This is his final push. This is his final. And you know who he's going to be mad at? Those that love Yahweh and keep his commandments. That won't go along with the lawlessness that is going on. The lawbreakers that are teaching miscegenation, racial contract of kind to any kind, not kind after kind. Breeding such hybrids of evil, non-spirit. See, spirit beings, eternal beings, are the ones that get the revelation. The one that gets the revelation is the one that gets persecuted by Satan, because Satan don't want no revelations here on earth. He wants to give you the revelation. Only the problem is, his revelation is bad. Well, my time has just blowed on by here. So I'm gonna have to end this session tonight with you. I'll be back tomorrow night with part 5 of the Fallen Angels. And we're going to get into the context of the temple, how Satan is going to devise his plan. Hey, he's already got debate. This has been figured out a long time ago. And the Bible will give you clues and keys if you can get into the depth of understanding, comprehension for it, because nothing is hid to those who believe and will stand faithful. So Yahweh will have prophets, teachers, that will bring forth the revelation of truth in the time appointed, and time is now. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and you are the house or the temple of Almighty God. He dwells richly in you through faith, and his Holy Spirit, the unction of the Father, from a baby you've learned these scriptures. You wonder why you've got into the depth and comprehension you have? It's because Yahweh is taking you to the deep things. It's the deep things that scare other surface-minded Christians who are trying to win. I don't know why we bother. But they're our brothers, the house of Israel. They're in these bell boxes, churchanitized and sanitized with the traditionized of the paganistic rituals and rules of Christianity. Come out of my people and be not partakers of sin. And these partakers are participators. Say, oh, I don't go along with all that stuff, buddy, perversion and homosexuality. And, oh, the churches is full of it. They're now condoning same-sex marriages. Priests are okay. The government is issuing special rights and privileges. Yeah, you're going to go along with it because you're a 501(c) operation. Until you come out of that, you'll go along with anything the government puts down your throat. Well, call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. 2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, if you'd like to email me, just email buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Now, you could do that very easily. And I'll respond to all of your comments, your mail. And if you'd like information concerning what we have and what we've been preaching on, we have this entire set of tapes that we could send you. And Yahweh bless you till we see you tomorrow night, 5 o'clock in Pacific, 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Well, that would be 7 o'clock Central and 8 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. Yahweh bless you. We'll see you on down the line.